Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Good morning, my sisters and brothers in Christ, saints and sinners, people of LCC, guests, visitors, whether you're local or from out of town, we welcome all of you here on this joyous and wondrous Easter morning. Children of God, have you seen Christ? Yes, I like that response. Well, our reading today is the beginning of a spiral of Christian evangelization, and it starts out with Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene alone, who we shockingly find this lone, unmarried woman walking around in a graveyard by herself at night before the sun came up. She is mourning. She is distraught. She is obsessed. She is depressed. She has yet to process the loss of this wonderful man who rescued her at one time from demonic possession, whom she has been following for the last few years, and whom, some say, especially if you go by depictions in modern motion pictures, that she has been in love with. Now, as she approaches this dark tomb, its stone has been unexpectedly rolled away before she got there. And she sees no body inside, and she goes into shock. Is it any wonder she's frightened? Is it any wonder that she ran off right away in search of some trusted friends? Particularly those that were closest to Jesus, this unnamed disciple that Jesus loved, and Simon Peter. And of course, like typical men, instead of asking Mary how she's doing, they just go run and see for themselves what's going on. What has befallen the body of their Lord. And we hear that the unnamed disciple was a fast runner because he surpassed Peter for what reason, we do not know. But that he arrived there first and noticed the burial shroud sitting in the tomb. And then Peter arrived, and being braver than the other disciple, he walked in the tomb and then saw this head covering that Jesus had and was bewildered. And the other one, emboldened by Peter's actions, went in the tomb himself, and he saw it all. And he remembered Jesus' prophecy, and he believed. So we'll leave them, because they left the tomb, despite the fact that Mary Magdalene still has followed them, and she's standing outside, and she's crying. They're more concerned with what's going on in their own heads. But poor Mary Magdalene is standing outside crying. And even when there were angels inside of the tomb, angels, men, she couldn't describe them any other way. She continued to cry. And even when Jesus spoke to her, she continued to cry, confusing him for the hired help. And it was not until he spoke her name, Mary. Now, you can be sure that when Jesus does that, when Jesus says the woman's name, when he says this, we remember back in John chapter 10 that the shepherd calls his own sheep by his voice and they know his voice. Indeed, because the moment she heard him say her name, she knew who it was. She knew that it was Jesus. And despite the fact that she saw him die, she knew that was him standing there. And the words of being the risen Christ were enough for her to finally believe and finally to be the first to proclaim the gospel, the first disciple. Now, this is the only gospel. John is the only gospel that decides to have Mary Magdalene alone in the graveyard. Because if you look in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Mary is accompanied by two other Marys. Mary, Mary, Mary. Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, also went in with her. But here, Mary is by herself. And it's odd because even as she is alone, she nevertheless tells Peter and the other disciple that we do not know where he is. And we wonder if she's consulted with anybody along the way, and John just decided to leave that out for whatever reason. But this is also the only the gospel that goes into this great detail to provide for us the information that Mary Magdalene was the first to meet the risen Lord and the first to proclaim the good news that he was not now dead but had returned. Have you seen Christ? Mary was there and she saw him, even though he ought to have been dead. And soon the others would see him as well. And these important people, Mary, Peter, the unnamed disciple who Jesus loved, known to this, the fourth gospel writer and the people for whom he originally wrote, those privileged few. It is quite possible that when these words were written, that the deaths of Mary Magdalene and the deaths of the unnamed beloved disciple were still in their minds, probably a few decades later, maybe 40, 50 years later, we're not quite sure. But yet, their names, the people, they knew who John was talking about. And in the awareness of this community for whom this text was written, the firsthand witnesses to the resurrection of Christ, whose very words instilled faith among those who did not see him but trusted in the firsthand accounts of the people they knew. But what of us? Now, 1900 years have passed, give or take a few decades, since this gospel was written. And what are we to make of this text? Now, I know I'm not the first 21st century Christian, and I'm going to go further and I'm going to say 20th century Christian, who as a child hearing these stories wished that I had a time machine to take me back to the time of Jesus so I could see for myself exactly what took place. So that this lingering doubt which I constantly had as a child and could not understand and figured that nobody else had it, I was alone to have doubt. This sinful and evil thing, that this doubt would be extinguished once and for all, and I could have perfect faith, knowing that I myself had seen firsthand, that I could watch the healings and see the miracles and hear the parables and witnesses the scenes at the tomb, that I could take my Polaroid camera with me. This was the 1980s. I could take my Polaroid camera with me, snapshots of everything that took place. And, you know, when encountered by one of those poor first century souls that saw this magical device, I'd find some kind of explanation for the click whir and the little paintings that came out of it. Not sure. Hiding the print as soon as it emerged. I didn't want anybody to see that. That would really freak them out. In the pockets of whatever garment I was wearing, and I had that planned out too. Okay, it was an elaborate fantasy, and I thought I had all the bases covered, but every time I came back to it, maybe not everyone got into this kind of detail. And how would I account for when the batteries ran out of my camera and to replace the film, or heaven forbid this time machine breaking down and I was stuck back there? And not knowing Aramaic or Greek. I learned that in seminary, by the way. Probably could get by with a little bit. But I did take 2 years of high school Latin so I could at least talk to the Roman soldiers. Somewhat. If the pronunciations are anything like we think they are. But all this, my sisters and brothers, were in the name of myself becoming this trustworthy witness to the gospel, with unblemished faith, able to say to all of you, yes, I have seen Christ. I've got a little photograph here. It's a little blurry. Anybody that's familiar with Polaroid cameras know that not every picture that came out was perfect. Maybe 1 out of 3. And unless you really have time to set up the shot, and I don't think I'd have that many opportunities. But I saw him myself, and here's the proof. But as you can well imagine, I never got to have my own time machine. I never got to travel back in time and witness the miracles and parables and stories and eating with tax collectors and prostitutes and the suffering and the death on the cross and the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. And so I continued to have my lingering doubts. Have you seen Christ? What does it mean to answer that question in an affirmative yes without having been witness to this physical walking and talking and living and breathing of the man of Nazareth beside you? As with Mary and Peter and the other disciples and all of the 12 and everyone that knew him, what does it mean to take the words of Mary Magdalene as gospel truth, that she has seen the Lord, our gospel has proclaimed and deeply ingrained it to our present being right here, March 27th, 2016. A part of the miracle of growing older, and I know there's those in this room that can attest, myself included, that it indeed is a miracle that we are at the age that we are at. And that we have a privilege of encountering the goodness of Christ in the world around us. Even in the midst of the sorrow that we often find out there, outside, in the streets, we can discover under the dirt and the grime people caring for one another. People doing things for each other, not for selfish reasons, but out of selflessness, because their hearts are opening. And every day, in everyday life, hearts are helping one another to survive, being the hope for the world that impels individual lives forward. We look to each other. One of the great gifts that comes along with the gift of God's grace is that our hearts are open to each other. We are able to listen to them pulling us toward our fellow human being, especially when they are suffering, and discerning when they tell us that something is wrong, and discern us when they tell us that something is wrong with our friends, knowing that it is without knowing what it is, knowing that it is without knowing what it is. We find ourselves needing to comfort them. We find ourselves needing to give them hope. We find ourselves needing to listen to them. We find ourselves needing to be open to them and to give them the strength to make it through another day. We look to our community. And a great thing about being part of this community of Lutheran Church of the Cross is the great deal of service that we are able to produce with such a small number of people. While our spaghetti dinner is at the very center of it, we find ourselves wanting to do so much more and find ourselves, despite our occasional misgivings, we become beacons of hope in the lives of this neighborhood and this city, shining examples out there in the world and able to draw others to our way of doing things. My sisters and brothers, have you seen Christ? We look to the cross, set there before us at the front of the sanctuary, empty, save this gold and white fabric draped over it, a symbol of hope and joy and comfort and grace in a world that has so many symbols of things that are not comfort or grace or hope. We know through faith, by the amazing gift of grace that we are given because of his crucifixion and death and defeat over death, evil, and the power of the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, that he yet is there. He is there in front of us, the Son. The Son. Have you seen Christ? Yes. We never stop seeing Christ. And it calls us to proclaim his resurrection to all so that we become disciples. We become the fishers of humankind. Like Mary Magdalene, the first to proclaim the good news that God was no longer dead, but back from the dead. That she had seen the Lord and she knew that everything was going to be all right. And along with Mary and Paul and the other disciples and the 12 and the ongoing, unbroken, great cloud of witnesses that have transpired between then and now, that we too can proclaim that we have seen Jesus Christ, the good news and the salvation for all of us. Amen.